Well, family, if you would take out your message notes, if you haven't already, turn on your Bibles or turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to continue in our study of 1 Peter this week, and we will conclude next week in our study of looking at these five reasons to have hope in the year 2022. Some of you came out of a very, very rough 2021, and as I have spent time with the Lord and my DPE, my deep personal experience with Him, I am convinced that He really has a hand in the series that we are presently in. He wants to encourage the children of God. He wants those of you who have been born again, born from on high, that you are these new creations in Christ Jesus. He wants you to move from attitudes that were kind of sour last year, attitudes that you came into the new year with. He really wants me to lose any sourness in terms of my own attitudes by what He has shared with me, to share with you, to point you in the direction He wants you very much to be encouraged in. So this is supposed to be a hope-building message. The acrostic HOPE you have been asked the last 2 weeks to memorize. HOPE, H, stands for hopeful. O stands for?
Optimistic.
And P stands for?
Positive.
And E?
Encouraged.
Encouraged. None of that has to do with the health and wealth theology. It has everything to do with being a man or a woman, a young person who is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are the people that have this hope. This is not a hope that we're hoping for. It is a hope that exists, and it is there, and it will take place. This hope is something He wants to see taking place in your life and mine, not so much when you get to heaven, because then it's going to be easy, but here, now, He wants you to be bathed in this hope. I mean, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what the psalmist said, and that's where I want you to be when you wake up in the morning. Remember, the acrostic HOPE, I've encouraged you to put up there on that mirror in the morning when you first get up. And I've already attested to the fact I am not one of those that wakes up in the morning and am thrilled to have just awakened. It's going to take a few minutes, sometimes several minutes. Hopefully, Kath has not been awakened and come to me and said, "Good morning." Oh, golly. But see, she has this hope in her, and she wakes up with this Pollyanna sensitivity. I wake up with Eeyore, you know? It's going to be a beautiful, sunshiny day. And I'm going to say, "Yeah, but I bet it's going to rain." You know, that was me through much of last year. But as I was meeting with the Lord in my DPE, my deep personal experience, our gnosko time, the time of intimacy with our Savior. He, as He wants to do in some of your lives that are Eeyores, He wants to bring a change of life to you. He wants you to truly manifest being the new creation, working out your salvation. Not working for it, because we can't, but to work out your salvation that's already in you. The beautiful gifts of God the Holy Spirit, the fruit, he wants you to enjoy love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, meekness, forgiveness. He wants you to be that person that comes alongside, and you've got a smile on your face because you're hopeful. You're hopeful, you're optimistic, you're positive, and you are encouraged. Because you're not going to be the person that you once were, where you were someone who was exhausting emotionally or spiritually. You were exhausting. Now you're refreshing. Now you're someone who is going to be giving to each of us that wonderful sense of being a part of Barnabas's family, as we looked at him in our study of the book of Acts, to which we will return once I go on my study break and come back. Family, he wants us to enjoy that P. What's the next one? PM, remember? PMSA. He wants us to have that wonderful PMSA. Anybody going to remember what we're talking about? Right. Both of you are correct. That positive mental spiritual attitude. He wants you to live with this family, and you will receive it if you will, this year, not give lip service to, but this year you will genuinely decide on your own, but give yourself in fullness to the Lord daily. I will enter into my gnosko time. I will meet with the Lord for that deep personal experience every day, because it's there that he will speak to you from this love letter. He will speak to you wonderful things. This isn't in your notes, but as I share with you from my own deep personal experience each Sunday, he says here in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he says, "Call on me and I will answer you." Would you say that with me? Call on me and I will answer you. What did he just say? If we go to him in our deep personal experience, you can talk to him. And he said he will talk back to you. He may actually talk back to you as he has spoken to me through the word. No, Ron, that's not the direction I want you to go. But I think it'll be great, Lord. I know you do. I knew you were going to ask me that. But I know better. Don't I, son? Yeah, you do. I'm not God. He's all knowing. I'm not. Call on me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Can you imagine? You go into your DPE, if you haven't already today, or you do it tomorrow morning, and you call on him, and he has things to share with you. You will read from his living, active word. You will read from that which is God-breathed. His words to you. And I've encouraged you, read it aloud, because it makes a difference. Call on me. Who's me? It's Ron. Ron, call on me, and I will answer you. Brett, if you call on me, your Lord says he'll answer you. Ronnie, if you call on me, your Lord says he'll answer you. This is the reading of the word out loud and let him speak to you that you may have truly a deep and personal experience with the Lord. In Romans in chapter 12 and verse 10 through 11, he says, love each other with genuine affection. As I sit with him, he reminds me, Ron, you have to love your kid brother with genuine affection. It doesn't matter what he may have said, what he may have done growing up to you. It's a matter of, I am telling you, Ron, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. What a delight to have Alec come and speak to us on behalf of Open Arms. What a joy and privilege it is to pray for the rights with regard to Barbara's upcoming surgery. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Never be lazy. But work hard and serve the Lord with enthusiasm and theos. Did you know enthusiasm, the first part of it means in God. So with enthusiasm, we are to find ourselves serving the Most High God, His Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And part of that begins where He speaks into your life in that gnosko time. Gnosko, for you who are new with us this morning, is a wonderful Greek term that means to know and to know intimately. This is what I've been asked to preach and to teach and to model to the Granada Hills Community Church along with this PMSA. Family, do not settle for negativism in your life. Do not settle for it. That's being part of the family you were called out of. You're no longer part of Satan's family. You belong to Abba Father's family. He, as you remember, chose you. I want to encourage you to not settle for just being capable of doing various things in the name of the Lord Jesus, but to make yourself available and watch and see what the power of God the Holy Spirit in you will accomplish going forward into this new year. Because as we were told in our first message of this series, that you were designed by God the Father for accomplishment. You were not designed by the Holy Spirit to sit on one's duff, but to get into the game and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be that minister wherein people see in you the attributes of God being lived out, touching them and being a blessing to them. You were engineered for this coming year for success. He wants you to accomplish the things we may not have accomplished last year or the year before, but going forward, He wants to help you be successful spiritually in all that He wants you as an individual to do. Why did He leave you here when He saved your soul? Because He has work for you to do. He has a plan for your life. As we saw in Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 8, 9, and 10, there is a work that He made, He put together just for you before the foundation of the world. So family, as we go forward, I want you to stay away from those people that are small-minded. I want you to disregard those people that are discouragers in your life. There may be a family member that's the discourager. Just don't let them have rule over you. You can imagine, I am a mailman. I deliver the word of God, and the majority of Americans don't want to hear it. And when they do hear it, many of them, not all of them, fortunately, but many of them, they don't want to hear it. And because I'm the mailman, I'm the one that they're mad at for having shared with them that Jesus Christ is counter-American culture. But even with that, I need to not let them make me be discouraged or find myself being any of the negative things. I need to move away from my previous aunts. I need to allow for the Lord to come in and to be my exterminator. He needs to be your exterminator and to come and to destroy your automatic negative thoughts. Let him take care of those things. Because if you don't, family, if you don't let him take care of those automatic negative thoughts in your life, you're going to find yourself back in the negative camp instead of being someone who was meant to be, as the new creation, a very positive human being, because you're in Christ Jesus. He is the best. He is amazing. He is awesome. And you get to be his brother or his sister. And his dad chose you out of all the people in the world to be his son or his daughter. I mean, there's nothing greater than that. But some of you have been born again too long because you take it for granted. You're not thrilled about it anymore. And this is something we should wake up to, Eeyore, and be thrilled about. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm not like the majority of the people in the world. I'm a son. I'm a prince. I'm a prized possession of the Most High God. I have been taken out of the world and I am part of his royal priesthood. Amen. He's taken me. He has taken you and placed you in a holy nation that is his. You are his. So if we don't start practicing these deep personal experiences, family, you're going to stay right where you are. If that's satisfactory, tell me what I can do to try to help encourage you to move up, to keep taking steps forward, to move out and away from what this world confines so many who profess to be Christians to. If we don't change, family, we're going to get that disease that ruins Christians. And that disease is moving back into having hardening of the attitudes. He wants you and your pastor to have attitudes that are flexible, that are full of love, that are full of patience, that are filled with joy. All of those things are eternal, family. As you go through the fruit of the Spirit, they're not temporary. They're eternal. They're to be enjoyed now and for always. They are there every moment of every day for you to enjoy. Don't let the past dictate to you the hardening of the attitudes, but to have that flexible, life-giving, the Holy Spirit flowing through you and the fruit of the Spirit growing and growing in you and being exactly what he has called you and I to be. The Lord wants us to trust in him and do good. Then you will live safely in the land, the psalmist says, and prosper. Psalm 37, verse 3. So, as you return back to your notes, the five unshakable truths. The first one we studied tells us that Father God chose us before we chose him. He chose us before we chose him as we read there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. So family, as we move forward, I want you to be able to say with me, Father God chose me. Father God chose me before I chose him. Tell the person next to you exactly that. Father God chose me before I chose him. The second unshakable truth, Father God always treats us with mercy. Father God always treats us with mercy. My mom, I heard her say, as I go, you know, Kelly and I didn't share the same mom. We shared the same dad, but we had different moms. And my mom would always say, mercy, mercy. And I said, how come you never said that when I was a teenager? Now, I needed a lot of mercy back in those days. But Father God always treats us with mercy. Look at your text here. The definition for the word mercy, eleos, it's kind of forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly. We are to mimic our Lord Jesus. He ministered mercy upon us. We don't deserve it, but he ministered mercy in our life. Our Heavenly Father was doing the very same thing when he selected us to be his children and to be adopted into his family. It's kind or forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly. I deserve to be treated in the most harsh terms. That's what I deserve. But he didn't do that. Look at your fill-in here. One receives what they do not deserve. That's mercy. One receives what he or she does not deserve. In this case, our great salvation. I mean, knowing everything I have done and the way I have accomplished certain things when I was growing up and long before I knew the Lord Jesus, having known these things and his willingness to go to the cross for me, that's very encouraging to me. This comes up in my DPE all the time. I am encouraged because he chose not to give me what I deserve. I deserve punishment beyond punishment, and I deserve at the end of this temporal life, hell. That's what I deserve. I deserve to be brought out of hell in those last days and thrown into the lake of fire at the last judgment. That's what I deserve. I deserve to go with Satan. I deserve to go with his prophet, the Antichrist and his prophet, and all of the demons. I deserve that. But he was merciful to me. That puts a smile on my face. That puts joy in my heart. That demonstrates that he really loves me and unconditionally. He was seeking through his son my best and highest good at his expense. That is agape love. And that is what he has shared with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been refreshed. I have been healed. I have moved into this positive mental, spiritual attitude because of his mercy upon my life. What about you? How about you? These reminders, do they bring joy to your heart? I hope so. I hope so. And I hope that it takes away the gloom and the doom. Christians are the last ones. Once we understand this, once we adopt this in our lives, that should find ourselves depressed. We should be impressed and joyful, filled with optimism, filled with encouragement. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter goes on and writes, all honor. Maybe you've been honored because you sold the house and you're a realtor. Maybe you've been honored because you were a super athlete. Maybe you were the best employee of the month. He says, all honor to God. All honor goes to God. When you have come to me on that rare occasion, that the message was really meaningful and good, all that gets put together in a nice spiritual bouquet and given back to Jesus. Because anything good that this formerly evil man who has been saved by Christ, this sinner saved by Christ, there's nothing good in me other than what the Holy Spirit has accomplished in me being the new creation. All honor to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is His, God the Father's, boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again. It's not something we earn. It's nothing that we deserve. It is a privilege to have been born again. Our sinful condition puts us in a hopeless state. But because of what Jesus has accomplished, and because of our confession and repentance of our sins, and recognizing who Jesus is, the Son of God, the perfect propitiation for our sins, and having received Him as our Redeemer and our Lord, that brings us to the privilege of being born again, so that we are now members, you and I, we are members of God's own family. That should make you happy. That should erase the unkind things other people have done to us in the past. Unkind things people have said to you or to me in the past. The joy is in the Lord. He is our strength. He is our wonderful, wonderful God. The fact is this, if you look at your notes, the more we understand grace, the more we understand our Heavenly Father's favor towards us, the more it amazes us, at least it should. It shouldn't be commonplace. It is completely undeserved and unmerited. His favor. But I have met Christian, at least professing Christian after professing Christian. You know, some profess and some possess. But as I've met these people who say that they're Christians, they don't get anything out of the fact that God has been merciful and that He has been gracious to them, and they didn't deserve it, and they didn't do anything to earn it. It's just, so what? They don't mean so what, but it's no big deal anymore. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. I'm not going to hell, and I deserve it. Kelly can tell you. The truth that God always treats us with mercy gives us hope even when we blow it. And we will blow it in 2022. Just as we did in 2021. But it's going to be different this time, isn't it? It's going to be different this time because even if we forget a little bit because we decided we're not note takers, we're not going to fill in the blanks, this is not anything I need to be reminded of. Well, at least we can go to the website and the message will be there and we can re-listen to it and we can do then what the Holy Spirit points out that's necessary for us to get away from what some of us already have, hardening of the attitudes, wrong attitudes. Those attitudes can be made very flexible. Those attitudes, when we ask the Holy Spirit to be the exterminator, can come in and kill all those ants in our lives. When you fail, Abba does not get mad at you. When we fail, you know, remember, failure is not a permanent condition. When we fail, he always acts with mercy. You don't deserve it, but he always acts with mercy toward you. Other people may not. Many will not. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about the richness of a deep personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he always acts with mercy toward you. Why? As a follower of Jesus, you are, I don't like to use the word covered in his blood. I mean, there's a song, you know, there's a fountain of blood and Emmanuel's veins. And it just, can you imagine a stranger walking in to a worship center? And here I am up here, and we just finished singing. There's power in the blood in Emmanuel's veins, and I am covered in the blood. And they're going to go, what is this all about? Now, you and I know it took the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is symbolic. It took his life. He gave his life for you and for me, for the world. He gave his life. But they don't understand that walking in. They hear our words. Now, if it were me and I came in, I heard people saying, as I was about to say, you're covered in his blood. They're going, do I really want to go any further in there? We are covered in his wonderful, perfect, substitutionary sacrifice on the cross where he took the punishment that you and I deserve. And it was there that he paid, not in part, but in full, sins of our past. Those things we see in the rearview mirror, those things we see in the side view mirror that we sometimes want to bring forward and make ourselves miserable. Leave them back there. It's over with. He's not going to bring them forward and smack you around with them. He wants you healthy. He wants you well. He wants you to live in that eternal joyfulness that he talks about. Love, joy, peace, remember? He wants you there, not where our fleshliness takes us back to and wants to waller. The evil one wants us to stay there because then we're going to make our spouses miserable. Then we're going to make our kids miserable. We're going to make people we work with miserable. And that's not what our Heavenly Father wants for us. The past is past. Jesus on the cross, his act took care of every single one of your sins and mine. There isn't a sin that he is holding over here in secret. You better be good or I'm going to slap you with this one. No, they're all gone. I forget who it was who said. They've been put in the lake of forgetfulness, and God has planted a sign that says no fishing. Leave it there. Jesus has covered us in his substitutionary sacrifice. He gave his life on the cross that we would be bathed eternally in his salvation. No matter what is in store for you in the coming year, or for us as a church family, if it appears to be coming to us as a negative, let us choose to look at it as a positive, because he already knew about it. It didn't catch him by surprise. It is coming into our lives corporately for a reason, to reevaluate ourselves as a church, if it's considered to be a negative. It's a positive. There is something he wants to help us to fix. Likewise, the same is true in your life. He wants to help you fix it. So it's a positive. The intent is to make it right, not to continue to live in a wrong and be miserable. So Father God chose us before we chose him. Father God always treats us with mercy. So let's go into this next week with a positive mental, spiritual attitude. Let's go in with that attitude that's flexible, the attitude of gratitude, because of all the things we've been reminded of this morning and last Sunday morning and this Monday and the morning before that. Father God has wonderful things in mind. The third unshakable promise is Father God has secured for each and every one of you the answer, but you need to come next Sunday. So, get it? You sure?
Yeah.
All right. Let's pray. Abba, thank you so very much for your wonderful love for all of us. Thank you so very much for the great salvation that surrounds us because of our having received into our lives your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through our confession of our sins, through our acknowledgement that he is your Son, and that we have repented. We don't want to continue to go in the direction that we have found ourselves that is dishonoring to you, and it brings no honor to ourselves. Father, may the fruit of your Spirit, may it be ever so active and growing, blossoming in our lives. Please, please, may these seeds that you've planted in our life become magnificent fruit. May people be loved by us as individuals and as a church as they have never, ever, ever been loved before. May we be a people that can demonstrate in the midst of great changes in our lives, the loss of a job, the death of a child, money being depleted, that we find, that people find in us a joy in the midst of such times, that they find in us a peace during such times. And Father, may GHCC not only continue to be known for its love, your love, may it also be known as a church that is sacrificial and comes alongside and helps those who are in need and loves those in spite of their need and is there humbly, meekly, and is open to forgiving any and all sins, even as we ourselves have been forgiven by you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, may my church family not stall, but go forward. Not be as last year, but to be as the new year. And to honestly desire and seek and be involved with you in Gnosko time each and every day, receiving our marching orders, receiving from you your love, receiving from you the reason to be encouraged and optimistic, that we would find in you the refreshment we need spiritually, emotionally, as we walk in this world that is filled with Satan and his demons, and people that are part of his family that would want to do us harm. May we find in you the wonderful, saving, protective Father. For I ask these things, my Lord, in your Son's forgiving, merciful name.